That sound courtesy of 101 Fox, the Chiefs radio network. It is Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Just like it's like Patrick Mahomes confetti raining down this morning on the show.
Yeah.
And we have finally invited the leader of the parade to the party.
Well, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who was as all in on Patrick Mahomes as anybody could have been earlier than anybody else. I was sitting on the stage at the draft situation in Philadelphia outside the Art Museum when the Chiefs pulled off the trade, and Lewis Riddick at that time looked at me with a knowing glance and said, this is going to work out well for Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. Now, I have no idea if he knew it was going to work out to the $2.5 billion well, but it worked out very, very well. And we're delighted to be joined by Lewis Riddick. Now, Lewis, Mike and I were talking about this earlier. I don't know if we've ever seen a contract, and maybe it's part of the times we're living in right now where so many things are uncertain, but the absolute giddiness that so many people feel about Patrick Mahomes getting stupid money because the best player in the NFL got a massive contract, and everyone's like, yeah, this just makes sense.
Yeah, man, it is pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, this is how it's supposed to work in life, right? Life's supposed to be about your merit. You're supposed to get paid based off of merit. The NFL is supposed to be the ultimate meritocracy. This is a kid who, since he came into the NFL, has done nothing but make people's jaw drop with the way he can play the game. With the way he can play the game traditionally, but the way he can play the game off schedule and just do things that all of us like to try and do in our backyard or in some kind of turkey bowl on Thanksgiving. He can do it all. And on top of it, to a man, everybody in Kansas City says he's an even better person. And my experience in being around him, he's just one of those humble, I get it type of kids who just doesn't, you know, he doesn't even realize how special he is and how big of a star he is. And that's one of the cool things about it. That's why everybody's so happy about it. And the truth is, he could have gotten more. He could have really just took them for everything, and they would have been like, okay, Pat, all right, fine, we'll do that. Now, we may only be able to play with 10 guys, you know, total on the roster, but we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you because we love you that much. He was just like, look, I just want to get this done. I just want to get it done. And the Chiefs now are set up to the way they structured this contract, and the devil will be in the details when they come out specifically, and people are going to poke holes all over the place and say, man, he couldn't have got as much as he didn't get as much as he should have. But he wanted to still be competitive. The Chiefs communicated to him that, hey, look, if you want to be like one of the, I mean, looked at as one of the greats of all time, not only one of the best talents, but one of the best winners of all time, this is what we need to do so we can keep all these cute little toys around you that we've got for you right now. And he wanted that. And that's why, barring anything, God forbid, that goes wrong with his career from a health perspective, he's going to go down, Trey, as one of the best, if not the best of all time, when it's all said and done, if he can keep everybody else around him.
Oh, you don't have to convince me. I've been on it since week one, 2018.
And Lewis, I all of us knowing that and appreciating that, it was still jarring to see that 10-year number when it came to the length of the extension. So as someone who has the experience on the front office side of things that you do, how did they get to that long of an extension, something that we never see in NFL circles?
Yeah, I think it's one of these where, you know, and I can't really tell you, you know, specifically to what Brett Veach is thinking, the general manager was. But I think, look, they really wanted to give him, they really wanted to show him how much they appreciated him. They really needed to structure this from creatively to the point where, you know, right now, in this window that they're in right now, they could still afford the players that they want to have on this roster and that they think really gel well with Pat. So we're, you know, they can still make a strong run over the next 3 to 4 years. And I think if you look at Pat's contract and you look at his average per year through, for the first 5 years of this deal as compared to the last 5 years, it jumps dramatically in the second half of the contract. And they expect him to, like, absolutely earn every penny of this contract. They're hoping that he does. So I think that's why they wanted the length of it to be what it is, so they can continue right now to take advantage of this window that they're in, still keep the people that they want to keep around them, and have him go on one of those unprecedented type of successful runs that we look back and go, that was a dynastic type of run right there. And I think there's a method to that madness, and Pat was willing to buy into that. And we're going to see if it all plays itself out the way they think it should on the field once we are able to kick it off and play some games.
Yeah, to that point, SpotTrack, which does a great job, you know, tracking contracts and looking at cap hits, they only added $30,000 to their cap with this contract for 2020 in a season where they returned 20 of 22 starters from the team that won the Super Bowl. So with that in mind, Lewis, because there's two ways for you to look at this, obviously. As a former player, everyone's happy when someone gets paid. As you said, meritocracy, they've earned it, and they're reaping the reward. The other side of this, when you were in a front office, did you ever expect to see the richest valued contract in team sports in the United States be an NFL contract? That, to me, is the land shaker here more than anything else. And I get it, it's not fully guaranteed, but I never in my lifetime thought I'd see a deal that would top the charts and it would be an NFL contract.
I think, obviously, players were hoping that this is what eventually would start happening, especially as the salary cap continued to grow, the amount of revenue that was being generated in the NFL continued to, you know, to grow. And, you know, players, as far as the numbers that they're able to put up, and particularly at the quarterback position and the amount of influence that they have, as, you know, as that continued to grow as well. Look, it's not going to be this way, obviously, for every position. And we know that although everybody's getting paid a lot more, no one's going to break the bank here like quarterbacks can. But I think this is what quarterbacks hoped at some point in time it would get to. It's only going to be reserved for a very, very special elite set of people. But I think it is good. I think it does show you, though, that there is a lot of money out there on the horizon for football players, and especially if you play quarterback. So look, just like you say, hey, I'm going to put some golf sticks in my son's hand. If you have a son early on in his life, or if you have a daughter early on in their life, I think a lot of people are going to say, hey, look, you need to get that football, man. You need to start throwing practicing some no-look passes. You need to start throwing that ball from all kinds of different arm angles and doing stuff that people haven't seen before, because people are rewarding uniqueness, even in football now. And I don't know if we'll see anybody like Pat come along anytime soon, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to enjoy it while it's here, because this, I'm telling you, Trey, you know, Mike, this he is such a very, like, just when you're around him, he does not come off as someone who really is aware of just what is really on the horizon for him. And I think that's the neat thing about it. He will never become a victim of his surroundings. He will always dictate his surroundings. And that's what they recognized with him right off the bat. And that's why they were willing to go to whatever length they needed to go to get him signed up and locked into where he never leaves Kansas City.
It's special to see Lewis Riddick, our ESPN NFL analyst, with us here on Golic and Wingo. It's a special kind of person that has everyone also this happy for someone when they have a moment like this that comes along. But you mentioned he's not even aware of all the great things, but the Chiefs certainly are. And I heard you talking on SportsCenter about how Brett Veach and company were aware of exactly what they had the first day they showed up, and that they've basically been planning for this moment since he showed up. So now how does the planning change for them going forward? How do you continue to build a winner around Patrick, knowing that you've got this, you know, what everyone always talks about, that big second contract that's finally come for your quarterback, and one certainly bigger than we've ever seen?
Well, I think there's no question that obviously your salary cap guys are going to have to be very, very, very adept at forecasting how the salary cap is going to go up or contract, as is in the case of this year, going forward. You have to be very, very selective as far as who you target that you want to keep in the fold, what are the most critical positions. You're going to have to really make some tough decisions. And with those tough decisions, you know, are going to come some holes in the roster that you're going to have to fill with great, great drafting and great bargain basement shopping and unrestricted free agency. And Brett's aware of that. I've talked to him a lot about that. He's aware of that, and they're up for the challenge. And on top of it, and here's the most critical part. Here's the most critical part. Their coaching staff, Andy is going to have to, over the next 4 or 5 years, anticipate the fact that he's going to lose some coaches. He's going to lose some great coaches. Look, this kind of contract is going to result in someone like Eric Bieniemy. It better result in someone like Eric Bieniemy becoming, like, without a doubt, a head coach within the next, you know, 8 to 10 months. Without a doubt, because it's resulted in others getting that kind of opportunity when you have a quarterback who performs like this. So it should result for him as well. So Andy's going to have to anticipate replacing some very, very good coaches and developers, which are – and who are the most important cog maybe in this entire thing once your salary cap kind of gets manipulated like this because you're paying so much to one guy. Those guys are going to have to develop young, unproven talent in a way that I think people underestimate how important that is. Even when you don't have a high-paid quarterback and you're able to pay a lot of people, still the coaches are integral in all of this. They're just so important because developing and utilizing players is really the key to success in the NFL. It's not just throwing money at people. It's not just, you know, just buying people all over the place and having all this salary cap space. It's about developing and utilizing players. And they're very, very good at it down there. They really are. Andy is a special kind of dude when it comes to understanding how to utilize players on the field and help them off the field to the point where they can continue to grow as professionals. He is very... he's very open-minded. He's very forgiving. He's a guy who gives second chances. He's a guy who understands that players face unique challenges off the field in their personal lives, and he takes that into consideration as far as how he talks to them, how he treats them, how he brings them along as men. See, all this stuff, you know, people go, yeah, well, these are professionals. They're paid to just do it. No, it's not as simple as that, and that's why right now Kansas City is in a sweet spot, and him and Brett together, given the relationships that they've had, they understand what this means going forward. You know, they understand that their margin for error, whereas it increases with a guy like Pat, it also shrinks because of the fact that they're going to have to make some tough decisions. So that's what you get when you have a guy like Pat. But, the alternative is this. What are you going to do? Not pay Pat and say, oh, you know what, let's take the philosophy of it. Just let him go. We'll just draft another quarterback, and then we'll have more money to pay everybody. And get the hell out of here. You know they're not going to do that.
No.
They're willing to take this challenge.
Yeah, that's not a realistic option in any way, shape, or form as our front offense.
Let life hand us all a challenge that looks as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
Hey, you remember when the schedule release came out and Frank Caliendo did that little spoof of how all the coaches reacted? And you remember how he spoofed Andy? He just held up the number 15 jersey. That's his answer to everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Awesome. Louis Riddick, our front office insider, is with us. So now you're in that front office organization. You're Brett Veach. You're one of the scouts. You're one of the assistant coaches. You're Andy Reid. You've got to manage expectations because the expectations now for the Chiefs, they ain't waiting 50 years for another one of these things, Louis. I mean, what are realistic expectations over the life of this contract for the franchise?
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, Trey, You're out of the business of managing expectations now. The expectation is, just like you said, it's Super Bowl or bust every year. That's what it is. And they understand that. There's no such thing as going, hey, this year we're going to go, 11-5, and next year hopefully 12-4. Maybe we'll win our division. Maybe we'll be AFC title contenders. Maybe we'll get to the big game. No, it's, you better get your rear end to the game, and you better win the game. That's it. There's nothing else really that's on the table for them that would be acceptable. And I think that'll start at the very top with Clark Hunt, the owner. For him to sign off on this kind of deal and for them to have experienced the success that they've experienced and how they've continually built to this point as an organization since Andy took over, that's what the expectation is now. And every scout knows that when they reconvene, whenever it is that they're able to reconvene, and then all their college scouts hit the road and their pro scouts stay in-house and start analyzing the Kansas City Chiefs roster, where the holes are, and they start looking at the rest of the league and saying, who can we poach from what team to kind of make us bigger? They all understand that that's what their charge is, to make this team as strong as we possibly can make it, because every year it's about getting to that last game of the year and hoisting the trophy. That's all we play for now, because we've already established what the standard is. And as Mike Tomlin says, the standard is the standard. Yep. Simple as that.
And they get to chase that standard with certainty at the most important position in football. Louis Riddick with us here on Golic and Ringo. So, Louis, we all expect this to bode well for guys like Lamar Jackson in the future who see this, Deshaun Watson, who's going to be up pretty soon. But in the immediacy right now, we've been dealing with this Dak Prescott situation for a while. So what, if any, effect is this deal happening before Dax have on the way that's going to play out in Dallas?
Nothing. It really doesn't. I mean, because I think if I'm Dak Prescott, and I'm his representation, or if I'm Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, I'm kind of going, look, just whatever Pat did, just get it out of your mind. Because I think everyone – see, this goes back to the specialness of this kid. No one else is really trying to compare themselves to him and what he's doing. I mean, the way we talk about it, the way other people watch him play, no one else is saying, well, as a comparable, I'm going to use what Pat does, and I'm going to use what, they paid Pat. It's not like that. I think Dallas, in their situation with Dak, has its own set of circumstances, one that right now I think is leaving us all scratching our heads. I mean, is it really just about 5 years as opposed to 4 years, 5 years that the Cowboys want, 4 years that Dak wants? Is that really what it's coming down to? there's got to be something more to it. They just need to go back to the drawing board and get back in the room and get together and get this thing worked out here before the 15th. That's what they need to do. That's what, yeah. I mean, so I think whatever Pat did, Pat is his own little entity as far as, you know, what his contract situation is. Yeah. And Pat was in a situation where they didn't even have to do anything. So, I mean, it's like with Dallas, they have to do something. They have to figure out something. They have to make a declaration one way or the other because they're up against it right now. And I think it's kind of like just put Pat off here to the side from a comparable perspective, because we're not going to compare you to him. And I think Dak knows that and Dallas knows that.
He is the outlier of all outliers. There's no question about it. Lewis, you were number one on the Ferrari chain before anybody else. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Stay well, stay safe.
You got it, bro. All right, I'll see you.
Yep, be good. It's just, it's fun to talk about.
It is.
Sorry.
You know what? But I'm glad he said it, and it's what we said earlier, and it's what I said going into the season, is you don't have to be reasonable with the expectations for Patrick Mahomes, certainly. Yeah. And like Lewis said, and you know what? It makes more sense the more we think about it. Every year the Saints go into a season with Drew Brees, we expect them to be in the conversation for teams. I mean, hell, even with the disastrous ends to their seasons, they've gone into the playoffs the last 3 years or so as most people's consideration for the number one team in the NFC.
Yeah, even
when it comes
to
that.
Even though they had to play on wild card weekend this past year, it was crazy.
Every year you've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, we expect they're going to pull off something because he's that kind of magic, and Mahomes is that kind of guy where as long as he's there now and with the reputation he's garnered in a short amount of time, that's the expectation, and unreasonable has become normal.
Absolutely. Speaking of what's unreasonable and what's normal, we'll get to a little bit of that in a different sport after What's Trending.
Get you caught up on what's trending here on Golic and Wingo. Colin Kaepernick and Disney have announced a partnership deal. Kaepernick will be featured in documentary series produced by ESPN Films as part of a first-look deal with the Walt Disney Corporation. The partnership will focus on telling scripted and unscripted stories that explore race, social injustice, and the quest for equality. He said, quote, "I'm excited to announce this historic partnership with Disney across all of its platforms to elevate black and brown directors, creators, storytellers, and producers, and to inspire the youth with compelling and authentic perspectives," Kaepernick said in his statement. "I look forward to sharing this docuseries of my life story, in addition to many other culturally impactful projects that we are developing." So very exciting and a lot of interesting content certainly on the way with that partnership. Meanwhile, FC Dallas is out of the MLS's back tournament with a bump in coronavirus cases. They will not participate in the tournament following a high number of positive tests for the club, Major League Soccer announced on Monday. Since arriving at Disney's Wide World of Sports complex on June 27th, outside of Orlando, Florida, the club has had 10 players and one member of its technical staff test positive. The team has been under quarantine since then, preventing it from training. Speaking to ESPN's Tom Marshall, MLS Commissioner Don Garber called it a tough day, but ultimately the right decision for FC Dallas. Just perspective, the entire MLS, since it's gone down to the bubble, 13 players have tested positive.
Yeah.
10 of them are on FC Dallas.
Right.
Ultimately, an understandable decision there. And Major League Baseball unveiled its shortened 2020 schedule. The defending champion Washington Nationals are going to host Gerrit Cole and the Yankees on July 23rd, followed by a late-night cap of the Giants at the Dodgers in the second game, both on ESPN. Following opening night, 14 games are going to be played on July 24th, including the first game at the Rangers' new Globe Life Field against the Rockies. Over the 60-game regular season, teams are going to play their four divisional opponents 10 times each. The other 20 games are going to be against interleague opponents in the same geographical area. That gets you caught up on what's trending.
All right, we thought we'd be talking a lot this morning about Major League Baseball unveiling their schedule and some of the great games, including the Nats and the Yankees going at it on opening day with Gerrit Cole being unleashed as the member of the New York Yankees. But instead, we're continuing to talk about the process that led us to baseball being the last of these big sports to try and figure out a way to come back amidst a pandemic, and it continues to be a problem. The Nationals had to shut down their planned summer practice today because of a spate of tests they're still waiting on results from. They haven't gotten them back. They took tests a couple of days ago. They still haven't gotten the results back. Major League Baseball in part said that's because of the 4th of July holiday. You and I both said that's ridiculous. You had to factor that into this and know that that holiday was going to be around there when you're trying to get this thing back. And then there's Chris Bryant of the Cubs, who basically just said, "What's going on?" He said, quote, "What we agreed to was testing every day. We've had guys here that showed up
every other day.
We've had guys here that showed up on Sunday and hadn't gotten tested again 7 days later. And then you don't get the results for 2 days either. So that's 9 days without knowing. And I think we really wanted this to succeed. We have to figure this out. I wanted to play this year because I felt that I would be safe and I would feel comfortable. But honestly, I don't really feel that way. So baseball is just figuring out another way to create another problem instead of finding a way to create a solution.
So baseball addressed the testing delays in a statement they put out yesterday, saying results from 98% of the samples taken from June 27th till July 3rd have been reported as of Sunday night. 86 samples of the 3,740 remaining pending as of Monday. Quote, our plan required extensive delivery and shipping services, including proactive special accommodations to account for the holiday weekend. The vast majority of those deliveries occurred without incident and allowed the protocols to function as planned. Unfortunately, several situations included unforeseen delays. We have addressed the delays caused by the holiday weekend and do not expect a recurrence. Now, unfortunately for Major League Baseball, this, as Chris Bryant pointed out, is the easy part. Yes. Like, it gets a lot harder, and Chris Bryant echoed this more in his statement, when they've got to start traveling, when they've got to start doing the normal course of gameplay, when the regular season, like this lead up to it and this ramp up and the testing involved in it is going to be as easy as it's going to get. And so 98% might get you an A plus in most classes. But unfortunately, in this instance, when you've got a bunch of players that are already feeling scorned coming off the negotiation that you guys both had publicly and getting ready to go out there and be the ones to shoulder the risk in all of this, you can understand why 98% is unfortunately not going to be something tolerable right now.
Yeah. The whole thing, and Mark Teixeira said it best the other night on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. He said, it's like we should have been figuring out how to play in the pandemic. Instead, we were bickering about money. And that's sort of what it feels like right now, as we're seeing a lot of holes in the way this plan is supposed to be proceeding.
I wear this statement out, but I firmly believe it. Trust is gained in drops and lost in buckets. And you had the bucket just spilling around everywhere for the last few months as Major League Baseball and the Players Association publicly strangled each other. And so now you need a lot of those drops to start to trickle in. And they are vitally, because the subject is not just gameplay. It's now health and safety. It's the thing that we have, you, as you pointed out with Tex, pushed around and pushed to the side for so long and all this, that's now at the forefront. So you need big drops of trust when it comes to this, and you need them to start to accumulate fast. There can be no more misses with all this, because players are heightened in their sense of awareness for that right now, and understandably so, because it's their health and safety. It's the thing that's the most at risk in all this. SportsCenter here on ESPN Radio. Breaking news. Patrick Mahomes, rich as hell. So rich. So impossibly rich that you and I could never fathom the amount of wealth.
Oh, I could fathom it. I just couldn't live it.
You know what? I can't fathom it. I can truly not put myself in that position.
This is me fathoming it right now. I am in mid-fathom as we speak.
God, it looks comfortable. The Kansas City Chiefs and Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes agreed to a 10-year contract extension. First reported by Adam Schefter yesterday, the deal is worth $450 million over that 10 years, but could be worth up to $503 million in total. It ties Mahomes to Kansas City through the 2031 season. Meanwhile, FC Dallas reported it will not participate in the MLS's back tournament following a high number of positive tests for the coronavirus within the club, Major League Soccer announced yesterday. 557 players are currently in Orlando. 13 total players have confirmed positive tests for the virus. 10 of those players play for FC Dallas. Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, called it a tough but ultimately right decision. And Major League Baseball announced its 60-game schedule for the 2020 season, headlined by an opening day showdown. Yankees versus the defending champion Nats at 7 Eastern, followed by a 10 o'clock showdown between the Giants and Dodgers, both on July 23rd, both on ESPN. SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, no compromise. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Mark and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Real quickly, great note from our researcher Vic today. Patrick Mahomes had only 3 offers coming out of high school: Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Rice. He was ranked as the number 22 dual-threat quarterback in the 2014 ESPN 300. Of the 21 dual-threat quarterbacks ranked ahead of him, only 2 are currently in the NFL. Would you like to take a guess as to who those 2 were?
No, I have no idea.
One was Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
The other, Will Greer.
How about that?
There you go. So dream big, kids. 3 offers, and he was the 21st ranked quarterback. I think he surpassed that.
think it worked out pretty well.
Maybe just a little bit. You know who might agree that he surpassed that? That would be our next guest, who does great work for us on ESPN.com. Really does an excellent job of breaking down and statistically look at what is and isn't true in the NFL. And that's Bill Barnwell, our fine ESPN NFL writer. Bill, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. You guys deserve $500 million deals just as Patrick Mahomes does.
Well, who are we to say no to that?
I was going to say, all right, listen, Bill Barnwell is my new agent, and we are going forward like this. So, Bill, while we wait for you to negotiate that deal for Trey and I here, looking at this deal, obviously we're all floored by the overall amount of it, but I think the two words yesterday that really struck a lot of us as we look deeper into this were guaranteed mechanisms. What exactly are we talking about when it comes to that?
It sounds like a robot is guaranteeing Patrick Mahomes' contract, which is pretty cool. I would get that too if I could. But basically, a lot of contracts have the ability early in their deals to have the future year's base salary guaranteed in the year in question. Someone like Ryan Tannehill has 2 years guaranteed when he signs his new contract, but really his third year salary guarantees at the beginning of year two. So really, it's a three-year contract because typically you're not going to cut a guy a year in advance and then pay him when you don't have to. So the thing about this Patrick Mahomes deal is he has that through his entire contract, which, as you guys know, is 12 years long altogether, a 10-year extension to a 2-year deal. So every one of his salaries is getting guaranteed either a year in advance or 2 years in advance. So it makes it incredibly difficult for the Chiefs to sit here and decide they want to cut Patrick Mahomes really until the cap gets above $400 million or so, which isn't going to happen until 2028, 2029, or 2030. So he has a lot of security for that massive contract.
Yeah, and we had Tim Hasselbeck on with us earlier, and he was sort of surprised that he would go for a 10-year deal. But clearly Patrick Mahomes is a guy who feels very comfortable with the city he's in and with the team he's in and with the coaching staff around him. I have to think that led to a part of this being such a long-term deal.
100%. I mean, this is a guy who, remember, he was not regarded as the best quarterback prospect in that draft class coming out of school. And when he got drafted by Andy Reid, it was kind of like, oh, this is going to work because Andy Reid is the quarterback whisperer. This is an incredibly talented player with some flaws who was with the best quarterback coach of his generation. And we see what happens. I mean, obviously, Andy Reid has been great for Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have worked great together. They've gotten the most out of each other. So it makes total sense to tie your future to that team and that organization and that head coach for as long as possible.
Bill's got a great article on ESPN.com right now breaking down all the angles of this deal. And so, Bill, I'm going to ask now, obviously, everyone feels great about this deal, but we always look down the horizon. So why is 2025 the most important deal for Mahomes, most important year when it comes to Mahomes in this deal?
Basically, because of that structure I just mentioned, 2027 is the year where this deal gets really, really big. It's actually not an enormous contract, even given those sort of big numbers, until we get to the second half of this deal. And in 2027, Patrick Mahomes will get about $60 million, which is a staggering sum of money for even someone as good as Patrick Mahomes. So that deal guarantees in 2025. In 2026, excuse me. So at the end of 2025, I think we're going to see the Chiefs look at what's coming up in that deal and probably want to renegotiate the structure. And for Patrick Mahomes, if he continues to play this well, it's going to sound strange to say, he's going to deserve a raise. He's going to want to make more money than what's on the back end of this deal. So I think this is really like a 6-year contract for maybe $183 million or so. And then I think it's either going to be another 6 years at about $311 million or a renegotiation. I think the latter is a little more likely.
Bill Barnwell with us. So we're trying to figure out what this means, Bill, going forward. Obviously, Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott's names have come up. But what about Lamar Jackson? Because we're talking about a player that has an MVP to his resume, very similar to Patrick Mahomes, very young in his career. Obviously, the postseason success has still not been there. But it is clear that the Ravens are all in on what Lamar Jackson is, and they're catering everything around him on their team to take advantage of his skill set. So is Lamar Jackson the next guy most likely to get a deal closest to this?
I think he's the only one who you can make a similar case to Patrick Mahomes for. To me, even though I think Lamar Jackson is incredibly effective in controlling his body, in avoiding big hits, in getting out of bounds, really on tape, he's phenomenal. It's one of his best skills that nobody talks about. I just think when you have a running quarterback, he is going to take more hits inherently than a quarterback who doesn't run quite as frequently. So to me, I think given the resume, given, like you said, what they've built around him. I think it makes sense to have that at least be on the table. But I think it's just tough to sit here and guarantee 10 years just about anybody. I think Patrick Mahomes might be the only exception to that rule.
Bill Barmow with us here on Golic and Wingo. So, Bill, Lamar Jackson is one of the quarterbacks that you took a look at from that 2018 draft class, the progress reports that you put out on ESPN.com that everyone should check out. They're great reads. So if we consider Lamar now the outlier as far as what's possible for him, especially in the realm of contracts going forward, of the other three quarterbacks in this grouping, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold, going into 2020, who would you say has the best chance to finally – I'd say prove their, you know, prove the team that drafted him right in his situation?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say Baker. And I do think it comes down to the same thing Trey mentioned about Lamar Jackson, is that they've built around him. I mean, yeah. I think there's a lot of talent around Lamar Jackson along the offensive line, given the additions they've added. I think the scheme is going to help Baker Mayfield's skills play up with Kevin Stefanski there in a heavy, heavy dose of play action. I think the receiving core is very solid, even if they do trade David Njoku, who requested a trade last week. You know, I just think there's so much talent around him. Josh Allen, same talent. I think there's questions about him as a passer. The offensive line isn't quite as effective, or isn't quite as effective, at least on paper. And then with Sam Darnold, I mean, there are snaps where Sam Darnold looks like he is the man. He looks incredible. Yeah. And then there was a stretch in that Patriots game last year where he looked more lost than any quarterback I've ever seen playing an NFL game. And that's not an exaggeration. And it's sad because, you know, we don't know. The offensive line hasn't been great. The receivers haven't been great. Maybe if Sam Darnold had gone to Andy Reid, if they hadn't drafted Patrick Mahomes, maybe Sam Darnold would be an MVP candidate. That's not out of the question. But so much of what this comes down to is just, what do you have around you? What's the coaching staff like? You know, can you stay healthy? And for Sam Darnold, that's been a problem.
Yeah, the fit is such a big part of this that most people don't talk about, and that's why I laughed out loud when I saw in the first round that the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back out of LSU. You couldn't. That's a gift from the football gods, from what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes want to do and what they needed. It is another perfect fit. That is a huge part of quarterback success, no doubt about it. Bill, as always, we appreciate your time and love your work on .com. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure, guys.
$500 million for Bill, too. If we're all going to hand out contracts to each other, I'm giving Bill 10 years and $500 million. Book that one.
Who am I to say no? I'm going to love that one for sure. Coming up, we've been talking a lot about quarterbacks all morning, but who has the best starting five in the NFL if you take quarterback out of the equation, which you can do in a theoretical exercise, but not in an actual game?
Golic and Wingo, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get it right, Dan. No contract, no compromise. Wouldn't like it if I called it the Stu Gott Show feature. Well, I guess they do half the time anyway. So
I was about to say,
that show's indestructible. They've broken down and torn up and done everything I possibly could. I love them dearly.
You do love them dearly. And that love is real. And it's shared.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo in here. And so we just had Bill Barnwell on, and he had taken a look at the quarterback class from the 2018 draft, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield, and tried to kind of give an update on where they are heading into the season. Big year for all of them involved. It got us to looking, and Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network put out an article on their website looking at the top five starting fives in the NFL. So if you were to take away the quarterback position, just starting five skill position players on this one, who we'd have ranked? Who do you think you had number one?
I'm trying to figure that part. It's quarterbacks out of the equation.
Out of the equation. So he gave the five offensive units their five best offensive playmakers, and he ranked them 1 through 5. Who do you think is number one? Do you really not have the list in front of you, by the way?
I don't have the list in front of me.
Perfect. Even better. Who do you think is number one?
I'm really struggling. Taking quarterback out of the equation changes things so dramatically.
So he gave it to the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Austin Hooper.
I think that's fair.
I think it's overrated.
Okay, who's number two?
Number two is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate.
Yeah, not a running back in that bunch.
No, and listen, you can understand, like, running back, if you're going to value all these positions, running back, all like, just as a position, is going to be the least valuable. So you can understand that one. And
Where are the Saints on that list?
So they're third.
Yeah.
And I think the Saints should be higher. I think the Saints should be one or two on this
list.
Where's
Minnesota on that list right
Minnesota
now?
Is not in the top five on this list. So it goes Cleveland, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Kansas City, and Dallas.
Dallas is a good one. Dallas is a very good one. You know, I'm curious. It sounds like none of these are projections based on what we think will come out of the draft, right?
No, it is. I mean, Kansas City's includes Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It does.
Dallas's includes CeeDee Lamb and all of this. So it is involving players. Emmanuel Sanders is in the Saints lineup. So it is the current roster of this year as they go into the season, hence why Rob Gronkowski also wanted for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'll tell you right off the bat, the Browns are too rich for my taste on this
list. Yeah, that might be a little high.
I think any two running back group is honestly going to be tough here, because if I'm looking at this and I'm saying groups that I think are maybe undervalued going into this one, first one, and I've been doing this with their quarterback, so it makes only sense that I would do it with their roster. The Detroit Lions are an underrated group of offensive skill players. But again, that's a two receiver one.
Yeah.
When you're looking at that one, because it's Marvin Jones in that list.
Kenny Golladay.
It's Kenny Golladay on that list. Danny Amendola on that list. But then you look at the running back group, it's Kerryon Johnson, and they just drafted DeAndre Swift this year, who getting him in the second round for a first round talent at a position that shouldn't be taken in the first round, to me, is like one of those hidden gems of the draft for an O-line they've put a lot of capital into.
And we're not putting in T.J. Hockenson yet in that list as the tight end.
No, you know what? So probably should be on that list, too, because the other one, like, if I'm buying stock in groups right now in the top five who could be here, one of those groups is the Denver Broncos.
You just stole my thunder.
Like, you look at Denver and the group they've got there, and part of that is his Iowa tight end buddy, Noah Fant, as he comes on, as he should in year two, around Drew Locke, when you look at the rest of the cast and crew they've got there.
Just so people understand, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my sleeper that I think could easily be in the top five, because you have Noah Fant, you have Philip Lindsay, they just got Melvin Gordon over from the Chargers. Now let's add in Kay Hamler and Jerry Jeudy. That is a very impressive group, and let's not forget Albert O, the tight end from Missouri, who put on a freak show at the combine, the skill set he was able to put together at his size, and that's a guy that Drew Locke threw to at Missouri. So I think the Denver Broncos, by the way, no one has, I said this during the draft, and I believe it now through free agency as well, no one has looked at the landscape of where they need to go and who they need to get through to get to the postseason better than the Denver Broncos. We're not going to defensively stop Patrick Mahomes. We need to score with Patrick Mahomes. And that's what I love about the Denver Broncos and the way they've done. Von Miller said this. He said, you can't stop them. You maybe hope to get a couple of turnovers, and that will slow them down a little bit. So Denver, with a defensive-minded old-school head coach, by the way, in Vic Fangio, has said, hell yeah, boys, let's put on the afterburners on offense. And I really like the things that they've got around Drew Locke. And I've been on record as saying, I think Drew Locke is going to have an amazing year.
So I think that's a group that we'd be willing to bet on in the future. This time next year, if things go the way we'd expect, that could be a top five skill group on this one. Who would you put at number one on this list? Because I don't think it's the Browns.
I don't think it's the Browns. I feel good about the Saints. And honestly, I feel pretty good about the Cowboys in that situation. And that's taking Dak Prescott, again, out of the equation, because you got CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott.
They went Tony Pollard in this one as the other running back. That's the weak link to me.
Well, Tony Pollard is a good change of pace guy for Ezekiel Elliott.
He is, but again, if you're listing two running backs on this, to me, all right, it's clearly like Dallas for a while, and I understand Jason Witten just left for the Las Vegas Raiders in this one. The tight end spot is an interesting, because I think there's value there. I think the Chiefs should be higher on this. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you and I both agree, is going to be an absolute bonkers fit.
It's a gift from the football gods for Andy Reid.
I think he's fantastic. The only first-round running back from this year. Tyreek Hill's the most unique weapon at receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
I don't think he's the best receiver, but I think he's the most unique, and I think he's the most interesting when it comes to creating a matchup nightmare for your team. Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman are challenging him at the track meet, and then you throw in maybe the best tight end in the NFL. Like, Travis Kelce is in that George Kittle conversation for best tight end in the league, and I think that's a position we're not waiting enough. We waited for for Tampa Bay,
right,
who's got three guys, none of whom are as good as Travis Kelce. They've just got three of them and an offense that actually looks like a basketball starting five. Yeah. But I don't think we're waiting in enough for Kansas City. They should have, I think Kansas City should be two or three in this list.
And you're mentioning Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a rookie. Damian Williams, who was a starter, could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. He could have easily been the MVP of the Super Bowl. So you're right. Around Mahomes, taking him out of the equation, you've got what we think will be two productive running backs, three productive wide receivers, and a tight end who might be as good as anybody else in football. It's hard to look at the Kansas City Chiefs and not say they might be on the top of that list instead of somewhere below Cleveland.